Hideous Wretch. At 10, Air Cascadia is off today. Flashpoints features a report from Mexico City on a series of people's caravans calling for the protection of Central Americans migrating through Mexico to the U.S. Also, it's been 1 year since Edward Snowden's first massive release of secret NSA documents. We'll speak to Ray McGovern, former CIA analyst, about the multiple impacts of Snowden's actions. At 11, on Between the Covers, host Jim Schumach speaks with Phil Clay about his novel, Redeployment, which takes readers to the front lines of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And at 11:30, Black Book Talk remembers the great Maya Angelou, who died last week. That's all coming up, but first, Teresa Mitchell is in the house with Press Watch, news you're not supposed to know. Stay with us.
KBOO is proud to co-sponsor the Creative Music Guild's third annual Improvisation Summit of Portland. This year's Improvisation Summit brings together creative and adventurous musicians, dancers, and improvisers for a weekend of diverse and unique performances. Featured artists include Tim Byrne, Bad Luck, Scott Kutchell, The Rich Halley Quartet, Ken Ollison Senses Sharpened, Michael Sterling, Doug Terrio, Matt Carlson, John Gross, and many more. The third annual Improvisation Summit takes place June 6th and 7th at Sandbox Studios, located at 420 Northeast 9th in Portland. Additionally, the Creative Music Guild will screen the film Reach of Resonance on June 5th at the Portland Art Museum's Witzel Auditorium. For more information and tickets, go to creativemusicguild.org.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Yellow Pages, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit pdxgyp.com.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know, giving you the tools to destroy billionaire rule. Laverne Cox, an actress on the Orange is the New Black series, which I think is one of those cable things that I haven't seen, has been featured on Time Magazine's cover. And is she beautiful? But it's prompting some to speculate that transgenderism has arrived on the world stage because, well, there's Laverne Cox. And maybe it has. But the backlash against equal rights for transgender individuals has been building for some time. Fox News seems particularly interested in creating hatred against trans persons, running completely fabricated stories originating from the Pacific Institute hate group. Fox has convinced many that their daughters are in danger from fictional trans women who stalk the girls' gymnasium locker rooms sporting erections. Not even making that up. I've noticed the effect at my workplace, mostly from the silent treatment, but also from various angry and furtive gestures. And this must be repeated all over the nation and all over the world, I'll guess. National Review, the magazine started by William F. Buckley, is leading the conservative anti-trans backlash now with a venomous article titled "Laverne Cox is Not a Woman." The National Review is known for its trenchant stands against all sorts of freedom, for example, raging in 1964 that blacks should be required to show high school diplomas before being allowed to vote. And Buckley never apologized for that. Now it continues that tradition by asserting in an article by Kevin Williamson, quote, "Regardless of the question of whether he has had his genitals amputated, Cox is not a woman, but an effigy of a woman. Sex is a biological reality and is not subordinate to subjective impressions, no matter how intense those impressions are, how sincerely they are held, or how painful they make facing the biological facts of life. No hormone injection or surgical mutilation is sufficient to change that, end quote. Nasty, isn't it? Kevin starts off by misgendering Ms. Cox and then repeats the ignorant rantings of trans-exclusionary 70s feminists and every dumb guy you ever heard on the bus. The National Review is a sort of upper-level propaganda tool for what last century's Creel Commission would have called opinion leaders. Buckley, the founder, was known for his polysyllabic, easy for him to say, bon mots, and his arched eyebrow. The idea is to give the sheen of intellectualism to whatever conservative meme was currently shining the shoes of the very rich. So, when you see the National Review take on a topic like this, you can be sure it will be repeated with admiration and verve at the Republican convention. But real intellectualism respects science and fact. It's obvious from the behavior of animals that gender is more fluid than would please the religiously strict, or the habitually strict. Some animals, fish and birds included, can change sex entirely over their lifetimes, and other creatures may or may not obey the behavior one would expect from their outward appearance. This is not new news. Still, there is a tendency among the less scientifically literate to assume that humans are granted a sort of a magic exemption to this species-wide gender variance. The National Review would like to gloss over that, however. And furthermore, we'd like to pretend that instead medical scientists are engaging in magical thinking. As in this package, this passage, quote, genital amputation and mutilation is the extreme expression of the phenomenon, but it is hardly outside of the mainstream of contemporary medical practice. The trans self-conception, if the autobiological literature is any guide, is partly a feeling that one should be living one's life as a member of the opposite sex, and partly a delusion that one is in fact a member of the opposite sex at some level of reality that transcends the biological facts in question. There are many possible therapeutic responses to that condition, but the offer to amputate healthy organs in the service of a delusional tendency is the moral equivalent of meeting a man who believes he is Jesus and inquiring as to whether his entrance plan covers crucifixion, end quote. Isn't that cute? Can't you see the arched eyebrow? It's too bad. Medical science has followed its own research and study on transgenderism when it could have just turned to the National Review for pointers. The assertion here is that transgenderism is merely a delusion and that doctors have been taken in out of an overwhelming desire to coddle lunatics. And to make the point clear, we then see that Kevin is on the side of gays, sort of, but not those deluded transgender people. He writes, quote, this seems to be a very different sort of phenomenon from simple homosexuality, though for the record, I believe that our neat little categories of sexual orientation are yet another substitution of conceptual for the actual, human sexual behavior being more complex and varied than the rhetoric of sexual orientation can accommodate. That's in parentheses. And he writes, the question of the status of gay people interacts with politics to the extent that in some cases challenges existing family law, but homosexual acts as such seem to me a matter that is obviously and almost by definition private. The mass delusion that we are inculcating on the question of transgendered people is a different sort of matter, to the extent that it would impose on society at large an obligation, possibly a legal obligation under civil rights law, one that already is emerging, to treat delusion as fact, or at the very least to agree to make subjective impressions superordinate to biological fact. It matters both public and private. So there, how you like superordinate, and that's a good one, huh? That's the end of the quote there. And so for the conservatives, gayness can be tolerated because its consummation is hidden. But the transgender people are asking heaven for Finn to be accepted in broad daylight. The phrase I keep running into is shoving it down our throats. Gosh, I wonder what sort of metaphor they're coming with there. Then we get to the backed into the closet argument. Quoting Kevin in National Review, as a matter of government, I have little or no desire to police how Cox or any other man or woman conducts his or her personal life. But having a culture organized around the elevation of unreality over reality in the service of Eros, who is a sometimes savage god, is not only irrational but anti-rational. Cox's situation gave him an intensely unhappy childhood and led to an eventual suicide attempt, and his story demands our sympathy. Times being what they are, we might even offer our indulgence. But neither of these should be allowed to overwhelm the facts, which are not subject to our feelings, however sincere or well-intended, end quote. Here again we have the assertion that transgendered people are deluded, but Kevin Williamson doesn't know the facts or is deliberately avoiding their existence. Science has long determined that transgender women have female characteristics physically present in the brain, and that just seems to be not well known, partly because of people like Kevin Williamson. So I'll just repeat that sentence. Science has long determined that transgender women have female characteristics physically present in the brain. I'm referring in part to the study named Male to Female Transsexuals Have Female Neuron Numbers in a Limbic Nucleus, published 14 years ago in the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology by Dr. Crevier et al., which studied the brains of 42 deceased transgender men and women. Regardless of hormone treatment, the brains matched the stated gender, not the so-called birth gender. This study has been available on PubMed all these years. It's no secret. And there's more that is known about this situation called transgenderism. Jillian Keenan, writing in Slate, says, a number of studies have suggested there may be a biological explanation for transgender identities. The androgen receptor, known as NR3C4, plays a critical role in the development of primary and secondary male sex characteristics. And one study found that male-to-female transgender people have longer repetitions of that gene for that receptor, which reduced its effectiveness at binding testosterone. Study concluded there is a likely genetic component to transsexualism. Another study, a genetic variant of the enzyme CYP17, which influences the sex hormones progesterone and pregnenolone, can be linked to people with female-to-male transgender identities. That study concluded that CYP17 is a candidate gene of female-to-male transgender identities. Male-to-female transgender identities have also been linked to prenatal androgen exposure. So to echo National Review, let's be rational about this. Let facts be facts. Let's not let mere sentiment interfere with cold, hard facts. Transgenderism is a real condition. Hello, I'm here. And it's not a delusion because gender is seated in the brain. And if you doubt that, just imagine what would happen if you were one of the very few people, and this has actually happened, who is mistakenly given a sex change operation on the table. Yeah, I better mark down that kidney transplant on your left arm before you go in, because it's happened. So when that person is rolled out of the operating suite, tell me, are they the gender that they came in, or are they a different gender? Well, they will adamantly and in court and very expensively tell you that they're the same person, the same gender, and this needs to be fixed back the other way, because gender is in the brain. That's who you are. That way your brain's set up, and therefore medical science is, of course, correct in recommending gender surgery for those who feel they need it. The AMA is on board with this. Facts are facts. Science is science. It is no more rational to deny surgery for transgender people than to deny insulin to diabetics. And yet it is done every day. Certainly it's done at my workplace. Number to call with your comments or questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Hell yeah, I'm transgender, and this is KBOO Radio. This is Press Watch, news you're not supposed to know. We'll talk about Fukushima a little bit. From ENE News, the interaction of water and air with plutonium and uranium is what's going to control the release of radioactivity to the environment at Fukushima. ENE News points out that what's different about Fukushima relative to earlier events is the vast quantities of water that were pumped into the reactor cores. It created a whole new release pathway for radionuclides out of the reactors into the environment. We don't know very much about how radioactivity was released through the water flow, and we don't know much about how the water interacted with the fuel and other structure materials. We need to take very seriously the development of the knowledge about how melted nuclear fuel interacts with the environment, especially water that we might use in an emergency to cool it. Studies have been done to date and haven't really looked at the longer-term interactions of water in the atmosphere with these damaged materials. And E&E News also quotes Katsutaka Irugawa, former mayor of Futaba, Fukushima. Quoting, in the midst of all this sorrow, Prime Minister Abe is facing outward and promoting exports of nuclear power plants. As a Japanese citizen, he said, I am truly ashamed. The contaminated water from the plant is polluting the Pacific Ocean more and more. I feel humiliated, he said, when Abe lies to the world, when he says the radioactive contamination is completely blocked from spreading further into the ocean. I urge the people of the world to take a look at us. We're living in conditions that punish us for what happened. Our dreams, our children's future, our towns have all been destroyed. We've been swept to the very margins of Japanese society and told to live there in silence. Nuclear facilities bring misfortune on humankind. This is the former mayor of Futaba. And he also said, we all need to raise our voices and demand a safe environment where we can live and our children can have dreams. We inherited a clean environment from our parents, but I, as a parent, cannot pass along a clean and beautiful town to my own children. This sad situation can never happen again. Please don't just help us. Please help humankind. End quote. Number to call with your comments or questions. 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. And Lynn's on the air.
Hey, Teresa, thanks for talking about this.
You're welcome.
About the transgender situation, which applies to me, too.
All right,
I have been following some of the flame wars online between some of our radical feminist sisters and some of our trans sisters. And but I didn't know this about National Review.
Well, I've been observing a backlash, and I think bus drivers, I am a bus driver, kind of have their finger on the pulse of popular moods sometimes. And I remember a backlash getting onto almost a decade ago, shortly after I had transitioned. And it was nasty and frightening. And it had its sources, and now it's gone. And now it's coming out of Fox News, and it's coming out of the conservatives. And I think because transgender people are such a small minority that conservatives have decided this far and no further, and we will defend our heterosexual privileges by attacking trans persons.
That's the first rule of being a bully, is you always look for the weakest, smallest target. I think I'm sure you know that as well as I do.
The second rule is attack that target in a group, but go ahead.
Yeah. One thing I think also is a factor is that we're not really good at political organizing. There's several like service organizations and like legal and lobbying organizations, but as far as a real grassroots organizing, I don't know of any. And I think, of course, our history of closeting probably has a lot to do with that.
Well, there is transadvocate.org, and that's a start. And yeah. There are some other groups. So, you know, that many of us, and we are kind of self-loathing, certainly. That's something I've been fighting for a long time. I mean, possibly self-loathing is one reason I use my, you know, former male voice on this program. I fought it for a long time. I try now and then to change it and to speak on air as if I were, you know, as if I had a smaller voice box, but I don't. I have a huge testosterone-flooded voice box, and that's the way it is. That's the way I talk.
So just one quick local note. You probably heard the Supreme Court refused to take on the appeal of the ruling against the Marriage Act. Okay, so Basic Rights Oregon has raised like $12 million for an election campaign that they probably don't need now. Wouldn't it be nice if some of that went to get actual enforcement of the anti-discrimination laws that we have? Because right now it's like totally up to you. If you can afford a lawyer to sue somebody, you know, then maybe you can prove discrimination. But
well, I think I can turn around and say, okay, now it's up to me, it's up to you, it's up to us, and we do have to organize. If there hasn't been any organization, well, I guess it's just us. Gee, where did I get that phrase? And this is the moment to seize, because Laverne Cox is on the cover of Time. There is a backlash. People are talking about it. And I want people to understand that, as I said, you don't deny treatment to a diabetic, but you do deny treatment to transgender people. And it is deadly to deny us treatment. And I have been suffering for many, many years because of this.
Yeah, Kaiser is like ignoring the insurance ruling that the state made in, 2011?
Well, and as long as the conservatives can focus the stories on these fantasies of, you know, someone running around naked in the women's room, then people will forget if they ever knew that that science has determined that transgenderism is real and is reflected by actual differences in brain structure.
Well, thanks. Thank you for bringing it up. And thank you for reinforcing that.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling in.
Not for a while. Uh-huh.
Okay. Number to call, 503-231-8187 with your comments or questions. Been talking about Fukushima. I've been talking about transgenderism and the denial of needed medical care, of life-saving medical care to transgender people. And Harry's on the air.
Ah, good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Yes, we're all waiting for your Geiger counter radiation report.
Well,
you haven't done that in a while.
I haven't done that in a while.
And also, I was wondering if you can also test eggs. I've noticed in the grocery stores, eggs have—they used to be pure white. All you couldn't tell the difference or anything. Now, their eggshells look kind of different.
Well, that's interesting. Well, I hadn't noticed eggshells looking different, but it is worthwhile checking anything associated with calcium because strontium is being increasingly released from the reactors. That's one of the big headlines on E&E News and on Fukushima Diary. So, okay, I'll take my Geiger counters out in the car right now. I'll check some eggs.
Hey, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
And the underwater plume is heading for the West Coast, for Portland. I'm talking about the slower, deep sea plume that has been spreading and will continually spread for many, for beyond our lifetimes, from Fukushima towards the West Coast. And that's predicted to just now start hitting, and that will change things. How much... what materials will make it? Nobody knows because this hasn't happened before. We've had atmospheric testing, which spread strontium famously. Actually, strontium was one of the bases. Strontium was what was found in children's teeth in the famous crusade that everyone's forgotten about that was led by women that banned the bomb. It was piles of children's teeth that were sent in by mothers all over the United States that established that children were getting contaminated with strontium. A shocking thing. And well, strontium's back, I'm sorry to say. And the nuclear industry would prefer that you forgot about that. Number call 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. Bill Van Auken, writing in WSWS.org, that's World Socialist, says President Barack Obama unveiled in Poland a new $1 billion initiative aimed at ratcheting up NATO's military encirclement of Russia and preparing for a direct armed conflict between the two nuclear armed powers. Much more on that article, and I may get back to it in a moment, but we have some calls coming in. 503-231-8187, and Christina is on the air.
Oh, hi, Teresa, Christina. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm on the planning committee for the trans march, and I just wanted to know if you knew about the trans march.
I'm sorry to say I did not, but perhaps you'll enlighten me.
Okay, it's going to be on June 14th. It's going to be on the day before the big Pride Festival, and it's going to start at 11:30. We've been organizing this for about a month, and we're expecting, maybe a few hundred people. So,
is it part of the Pride Festival?
It is part of the Pride Festival, sponsored by Pride Northwest.
Okay, and it's separate from...
The planning committee is all trans people.
So. Okay. Well, that's interesting. So that... how can people find out more about that march?
You can go to Pride Northwest and look for Trans March, and you can find it there. We'll also be in the Pride Guide, and there's a story that's going to be coming out in PQ Monthly about the Trans March. So those are all places you can go.
All right. Terrific. Thanks for that information.
Saturday, June 14th, 11:30. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. Been talking about Fukushima, been talking about transgender rights, and been talking about the war, which is cranking up in Ukraine. And you need to know that you are being very, very heavily propagandized about this war. It is a war now. We're talking about jet aircraft using cluster bombs kind of war, and about to escalate. This war is very much frightening and mobilizing Russia, and Russia has responded, as I've mentioned in previous weeks, with Tupolev bomber aircraft. Those old turboprop bombers, approximately the size of a B-52, maybe a little larger, which goes 600 miles an hour, and after all these years, are just as effective as they ever were, because what they do is they go off the coast. They are off our coast, and they have rocket and jet-powered cruise missiles, which they fire, and they have been test firing. This is how bad it is. These are nuclear missiles. The threat of nuclear war has returned after all these years. And this is because of the confrontation in Ukraine. It's extremely ugly. I've got some more information on that. And again, this is from Bill Von Aachen in WSWS.org, talking about President Barack Obama's four-day trip to Europe. On Monday, he writes, Ukrainian warplanes carried out airstrikes in the center of Luhansk, a city of nearly 500,000 near the Russian border. And did you hear that? Near the Russian border. What are believed to have been cluster bombs were dropped directly on the regional administration building, killing 8 civilians, wounding 28 others, many of them critically. Among the dead was Natalia Arkhipova, the public health minister of Luhansk People's Republic, which was proclaimed following an autonomy referendum last month. When the warplane struck, she was at the building's entrance speaking to another woman who was also killed. This is only one of the more bloody actions and a growing number of atrocities as the Ukrainian regime, and I remind you, this is the U.S. and NATO-favored regime, has unleashed warplanes, heavy artillery, mortar fire, and assaults by thugs of the fascist right sector against the population in the east. Schools, hospitals, and residential areas have all been severely damaged by indiscriminate bombardment directed at terrorizing entire regions, where opposition to the regime installed by the U.S.-backed and fascist-led coup last February has only increased since the May 25th election of the billionaire oligarch Poroshenko. In Poland, Obama provocatively combined a threat of new sanctions and an ultimatum to the Russian government of Vladimir Putin to order those resisting the onslaught by Kyiv regime forces and right sector fascists to stand down, with the unveiling of a $1 billion program aimed at increasing U.S. and NATO military deployments on Russia's border and providing new military aid to Ukraine. Number to call with your comments, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. And I would just like to check with Rock the Engineer. By the way, Rock, thanks for your excellent engineering for so long now, and
you're very welcome, Teresa.
What's coming up next?
Oh, we've got Per Fagerin coming up next with Fight the Empire.
All right. Okay, so that will be good information for you right here on KBOO Portland. So I'll just finish up by continuing with this article, which you can find in, type in WSWS.org. In Poland, Obama provocatively combined a threat of new sanctions and an ultimatum. The funding is intended to pay for a constant rotation into the region of U.S. land, air, and ground forces. This has already begun with the deployment of a detachment of 18 U.S. F-16 fighter planes, which Obama visited on Tuesday, as well as some 600 U.S. paratroopers who have been sent into Poland and the former Soviet Baltic republics of Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. We'll increase the number of American personnel, Army and Air Force units continuously rotating through allied countries in Central and Eastern Europe, Obama said during a joint press conference with Polish President Bronislaw Komorowski. And we will be stepping up our partnerships, he said, with friends like Ukraine, Moldova, and Georgia as they provide for our own defense. Now, I'm calling for an anti-war movement. This is a very serious situation, as I've said before on this program. It is being very much hidden from you. When I say very serious, I'm talking about nuclear incineration. You've been listening to Press Watch. And this program goes out to all of you who have hearts and minds and a desire for a better world. Stay tuned, because more great programming is coming up on your people-supported radio station, KBOO Portland. Please click the tip jar at kboo.fm, where we are going out to countries around the world and to all the ships at sea.
Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Voices on the Ground, Resistance and Resilience, Friday and Saturday, June 6th and 7th at Portland State University. The keynote speaker will be Sherry Hunkala, a national activist in anti-poverty movements and co-founder of the Kensington Welfare Rights Union and the Poor People's Economic Human Rights. This two-day conference will focus on areas of human rights, criminalization, and pathologizing of identities and experiences, revolutionary tools, and more. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Well, good morning. This is Per Fagrang, and the show is Fight the Empire. And we're going to start out. The main topic is about the Russia-China gas deal. But first, I'd like to say a little something about Senator from Georgia, Saxby Chambliss. Now, this controversy over Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, who was held prisoner by the Taliban for 5 years and has finally been freed. The uproar is getting uglier and uglier. People have been jumping in to pass judgment on this guy who has yet to defend himself. So, and among those jumping in on this